And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
The NHL season takes a pause, but not us here on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. The Winter Olympics just days away from getting underway, dropping the puck in Milan Cortina. Jake Hahn, Chris Meaney, Pete Jensen. No Nick Alberga today. It was Alberga in Alberta. Now it's Alberga in Jamaica. Ooh. I think we're all a little bit jealous, Means, but happy to be here with you guys breaking down the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, Nick's living the dream for sure, but we are as well. We're going to break down the Olympics, and it should be a whole lot of fun, best on best, and we're going to discuss some early line combos that we've seen, some interesting combos out there. We'll talk some sleepers, some X factors, and yeah, we'll pick some winners for this thing. Should be a whole lot of fun, Pete.
And guys, remember how good the Four Nations tournament was last year. That was only four teams. That might only be an appetizer for what we're about to witness in Italy. So I'm really amped about it.
Meaney, it took what? We haven't even dropped the puck yet. We're already arguing about line combos in Canada. That's how, you know, practice line combos and who's playing with who. And, you know, I think that is something Pete mentions going back to Four Nations. Is there anything you think we can draw from that, or, you know, to predict what could happen here? Or for you, is this just a totally different ball game? Obviously, more teams involved, best on best, like we mentioned off the top. Is there anything we can draw from Four Nations from last year?
I think, like, Four Nations is super competitive, and I just think that this will be a little bit more intense, right? It's the Olympics. With, like Pete mentioned, it was awesome, right? We did see four teams, but now this is, you know, gold medals on the line. You're traveling to Italy. We do have some, you know, line combos and things that we could take away in terms of chemistry, who played, you know, on power plays, and, you know, who was, you know, inside the top six, moved themselves up the lineup. Like, I think of a guy, Jake, like Matt Boldy, who I'm going to talk a lot about here in this episode. This is a guy who started Team USA on the fourth line, eventually moved himself up the lineup. I think he was second on Team USA among forwards in ice time in that championship game against Canada. Now we're seeing him slotted right away with Austin Matthews on that second line and Jake Guentzel. So there's certain things that we can take away, but I think now it's a little bit more, in, you know, exciting, right, Pete? Because now you include Germany, Czechia, Denmark, Switzerland. There's going to be a lot more players here playing this time around.
Oh, yeah. You know I'm going to be waving the Denmark flag on Thursday when they get in action here. It's a big deal for a lot of these countries, especially the smaller ones like Denmark. But I look at the Four Nations as a point of comparison, but I'm excited to see some of the guys that we didn't see in Four Nations. Tage Thompson, Nick Suzuki, Quinn Hughes was injured for USA, and they fell one goal short of the championship against Canada, and they beat Canada earlier in the tournament, right? So Quinn Hughes is going to be maybe the biggest X factor of the entire tournament, Jake.
Well, and one player, guys, I'm obviously very excited to see here is Macklin Celebrini, and getting that young talent and the possibility of him playing with some really special players for that Team Canada roster. Meaney, I think a lot of people are excited to see what he can do, because he's done some great things for San Jose, but he's never played with guys of this caliber, right? And, you know, can he hold his own? I believe he can, but we're going to find out here in just a couple of days' time. Over at NHL.com/fantasy, Means, you did a great job ranking, basically, for all the crazy people out there running Olympic pools, Olympic fantasy pools, which I love. And hey, you could have some fun with this. With 12 teams involved, like we said, different than Four Nations. You only had four teams. Kind of tough to run a fantasy pool. You could have a very legit pool here with 12 teams involved at the Olympics. So I mentioned Celebrini. He's seventh on your list. What was the strategy kind of basing this out? Obviously, you want teams that are going to go far. So Canada and U.S. are going to be heavily involved at the front end of your rankings here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we did get a little bit of a sample of what the lines looked like at practice, I think, late on Sunday. And I think a few of us expected to see Macklin Celebrini. At least we were hoping to see Macklin Celebrini on that top line with McDavid. And that's exactly what we saw. A little bit of a surprise to see Tom Wilson on that first line. We'll get into some sleepers, some X factors throughout the show. But it does look like right off the hop, John Cooper is going to let the youngest player in the Olympics play with McDavid. So that's a special moment for him. I know McDavid's talked about playing with him as well. So I did a fun draft over the weekend, a live draft with 11 people. We all drafted seven players. So we had to go a little bit deeper in our rankings so we can get, you know, some third and fourth line liners in there, some defensemen. But off the top, it went heavy Canadian and heavy Americans, as you would expect, right? Pete, McKinnon, McDavid, Eichel, who I took third overall, Crosby, Celebrini. Then you get into Brady Tkachuk, Cale Makar, who logged 26 minutes per game at the Four Nations. Quinn Hughes, who Pete mentioned we didn't see, is most likely going to be on that top power play for Team USA. Zach Greinke behind him, who, you know, led everybody in points at Four Nations and also averaged 26 minutes per game. So I think, you know, the strategy for me, Pete, would be to dive in on some of these Canadians and some of these Americans, because I do like their groups and I expect both of these two nations to be 1-2 in terms of a goal scored.
Right, and you're going to see a different dynamic, just the fact that Tom Wilson is on the ice for Team Canada, whether he's on the top line or the third or fourth line at different waves. I mean, what happened at Four Nations with Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk, I don't think that's going to fly over here with Tom Wilson on this roster or on the ice at the same time. I would not expect those type of haymakers and stuff like that. I think it's going to be a lot more down to business, and I think Team Canada deserves to be the favorite in this tournament, adding players like Tom Wilson, Nick Suzuki, etc. Darcy Kemper, I really like as well as a safety blanket, and Logan Thompson. I think the goaltending trio, Jake, is a lot better this time around. If Binnington falters, they can go to either one of those two other guys who have gone deep in the playoffs before.
I want to get into some sleepers, some X factors here in a minute, Meany, but I do want to get your overall strategy for something like this. Obviously, I'm looking at the rankings. There's going to be a lot of Canadian players, a lot of American players towards the top of the board, which makes sense. Those are the two favorites going into this tournament. But if you're building a team, are you trying to stack one team here? Are you trying to spread it out maybe a little bit? Are you taking some flyers on, you know, maybe a Germany or a Czechia, a dark horse type team? Or are you just trying to load up your roster with as many Canadian players, as many American players as possible?
Yeah, I think the latter, and it's going to be tough to do, especially if you're drafting with like seven or eight people. Those, the Canadians and the Americans, are going to fly off the board. And as I mentioned, I really like the group. Team USA is favored to lead the Olympics in goals, but Pete mentions it. Canada's favored overall to win. But when you're in a group with Latvia, Germany, and Denmark, right, there's a Team USA is going to score some goals. So I think loading up on the Tkachuks, maybe get Eichel, you get one of those two players, maybe you can get your hands on a Boldy or a Guentzel. You go down the list, looks like Kyle Connor is going to be slotted on that third line with Tage Thompson and Dylan Larkin. Those are three interesting players as well. Maybe you can get late second or early third, but I wouldn't shy away from some of these players like on Czechia, David Pastrnak or Leon Draisaitl in that draft that I mentioned on Saturday. I think, Jake, the biggest surprise was seeing Leon Draisaitl go 17th overall. We have him roughly as a top 10 forward, and you know we're going to get a taste of him without McDavid, but this is a guy that can carry an offense. Germany's I think pretty interesting with Tim Stutzel there, JJ Paterka. They got Moritz Seider on the back end, and I think they'll lean on some of their top dogs, Pete. So yeah, have a strategy. It doesn't always go that way. You get one or two Canadians, maybe you can dive into some of the Swedes, or you know, a little bit of a Finn run, because there's some interesting players, and those two teams I think will hang around in this tournament.
One thing I really liked that you said there, Meany, and I wanted to bring this up, is how top-heavy some of those teams are. Germany, Czechia, maybe a little bit Finland, but Finland's a team I think generally likes to spread things out no matter what their roster looks like. So, Pete, I think that's something I'm going to be attacking, certainly from a fantasy draft perspective, and when we get into some of the gambling angles, we're going to do Bet365 in a little bit. I expect these German players to play a lot. I expect these top Czech players. You look at Czechia's top line, I think they're running Hertl, Natchez, and Pastrnak. They're just stacking that top line, at least for the time being, Pete. And I think that's something we can attack to say, hey, these guys are probably going to be out there 25 to 30 minutes most games. So whether that's shot prop angles, point props, taking them in pools, I think these, you know, middle tier countries are certainly going to be playing their horses as much as possible.
I was torn, honestly, when I was trying to pick a sleeper to, like, a sleeper country to finish third, to win the bronze. I was torn between Germany, who I really like, and also Czechia. But I went with Czechia because I like the forward group. They got some veterans on defense with some size and tenacity. And then they got a nice goalie trio. They got Dostal, right? They got you know, a couple other guys, Vemelka. So it's a lot of talent. You're looking for, if you're really expecting a deep run for one of those fringe teams or middle tier teams, like, you need to look at their NHL experience. No disrespect to, you know, the teams like Italy and France that you know, are giving some other guys a shot here. But I think that having being able to spread out multiple lines, you got Onchekia, you got Nietzsche's maybe playing on a separate line from Pasternak. That's a big deal in terms of having that scoring depth in what you could do going up against the juggernauts in this tournament.
Yeah, and again, when you go back to those rankings and some of those Americans and Canadians fly off the board, maybe the top-tier talent like Mikko Rantanen for Finland, Pasternak for Czechia, Draisaitl for Germany, I think you can maybe pivot and go another way and take a look at Sweden. There's a lot of very interesting players in this mid-30 range. Mika Zibanejad, I thought, had a great Four Nations showing. You have Adrian Kempe, Philip Forsberg. Lucas Raymond is a sleeper X-factor for me, is somebody that I think could play in a top-six role. He's a among the leaders in power play points. He's had a heck of a season for Detroit Red Wings. And then, you know, later on down the list, Granlund. Looks like Granlund, you know, who led Finland with 3 goals and 4 points in 3 games. He had the overtime winner against Team Sweden at the Four Nations faceoff. Looks like he's going to get an opportunity to play on the top line with Roope Hintz and Mikko Rantanen, two guys that he played with in Dallas towards the end of last season and in the playoffs, so they're familiar with each other. You also have Sebastian Aho there as well, Anton Lundell and Luis Turanen. You got to imagine, Pete, those two guys are going to have, you know, play together. They have some chemistry some from the Florida days, so... Yeah, don't try to get some of these Canadians, Americans, you know, Jake, but also Finland and Sweden, those two teams are going to score some goals.
Well, I think realistically, right, you kind of set it off the top. Everybody's going to be fighting to draft the Canadian and American players in your pool. So there's only going to be so many to take. And at some point you might have to pivot. So I think for me, Pete, I'm probably looking at, okay, I want to target one of those countries, whether it's Canada or US, whoever you like better. And then maybe have another one in mind for me, possibly a Finland. I'm looking through these rankings, maybe not the sexiest names on this Finnish team compared to maybe Sweden, who's bringing a lot of NHL level talent, names that people know. I think Finland, Pete, could be a really good pivot of, again, guys that are going to slip in a draft. But what do we see? Every international tournament, the Finns seem to step up, punch above their weight. And I don't think this is going to be any different. They are going to get Sweden in a group as well, which should be a fascinating game between those two teams. So I think for me, Pete, it's the Finns. Is there any of these other, you know, maybe middle of the pack teams you'd be targeting?
Well, I wanted to mention on Finland, you know, they have some new wrinkles here. Without Barkov, you would expect Lundell, just like he's done with the Florida Panthers this year, to play an elevated role and be a difference maker. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, to see him be the 2C for that team at all. And then you go down and they have Oliver Kapanen, who has been one of the best rookies in the NHL this year. If you did top 5 rookies based on performance in the NHL, Oliver Kapanen might be number 5 on my list with what he's done in many different categories among the rookie leaders. So, yeah, I echo what you're saying. And Sweden as well. Sweden's got great goaltending. You look at when they, you know, you have two guys from the same team going to the same Olympic country, and that's what I'm looking at. You look at Minnesota Wild's goaltending tandem of Wallstedt and Gustafsson, second in the NHL in team save percentage this year. That is going to be the Sweden goalie tandem. Both of those guys have a high ceiling individually, but maybe even collectively, that could be a big difference maker compared to the Four Nations from a goaltending standpoint for Sweden.
As much as we're talking about Czechia and Germany, I do feel like team like Sweden and Finland, Jake, do get overlooked a little bit. I know in the odds market it's number 3 and number 4, but Sweden, I thought, hung around with Canada in that opening game. I think Marner scored an overtime goal at Four Nations face-off, but I thought Sweden was the better team for the most part, and then Finland took it to them too. So it'll be fun to watch Sweden and Finland play each other, but something to keep in mind, you know, everyone's going to move on, right? So like, you don't need to shy away from maybe a Germany or a Czechia player, because even if they have a bad round robin, they will move on. The top 4 teams will move on, the division leaders will move on, then that 4 seed, and then you'll get quote unquote a little bit of a layup game in the first single elimination games. You can have the 5 seed Germany play maybe Italy, Czechia play France, Switzerland play Latvia. Those are games that I think, you know, Germany and Czechia and Switzerland will probably comfortably win those games and score some goals. So you get another game there, and then things will get a little bit tough where if, you know, say Czechia was the 6th seed and Sweden was the 3, they'd play each other in the quarters. Finland and Germany, a little bit of a tougher matchup. But again, just having the 1 or the 2 seed, you're set up to have that first matchup be pretty favorable, and also you're going to score a lot of goals throughout the round robin.
It's a good point on the format to bring up that all these teams are going to at least get that extra game and move on in some fashion. Now, most of them are teams like France and Italy, we know aren't going to be contenders at this tournament. And you're fighting in the round robin for that great positioning. And I think the U.S. probably has the inside track there in terms of the easiest group out of the top tier favorites, Pete. Looking back at some of these NHL.com articles you guys have up there, mentioned the fantasy rankings off the top. Sleepers, X factors. I was going through the X factors, almost one for basically every country here. What goes into this? Is there anybody that really jumps out to you, whether it's a sleeper or an X factor going into this tournament, Pete?
I'd have to say Tom Wilson. Honestly, if he's getting that lineup placement, this is a 30 goal scorer from last year with the Capitals, who has taken his game to way new heights even since they won the Stanley Cup back in 2018. And I just think that his game has evolved so much. And if he's playing on a line with whoever it is for Canada, MacKinnon or McDavid or something like, I mean, this is like, we've never seen Tom Wilson play with a centerman of that caliber, maybe since, Nicholas Backstrom or something like that many moons ago. But he's a much different player than he was back then. I think we could all agree on that. So Tom Wilson, if I was doing a fantasy pool draft, or looking at some long shot props, like, would you be shocked if Tom Wilson led Canada in goals? I really wouldn't, and you can get a big number on that. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, and you know, Wilson wasn't on my radar, Jake, when we were previewing. Shout out to Pat Mayo. We did like a bit of a preview. We were looking at some players who could maybe surprise. Wilson wasn't really one of those guys, but Pete brings up a good point. We already had him as a sleeper before we heard about these lines. If he's going to get an opportunity to play on that top line, I mean, that is certainly intriguing and somebody to think about, somebody that you can draft a little bit later on if you're doing one of those drafts, or take a look at the prop market. He's going to be plus money to pick up a point, playing with Celebrini and McDavid. Tage Thompson is a sleeper for me. And, you know, I think we got a little bit of pushback with our top three sleepers. But again, when you're looking at the market, like a guy like Tage Thompson to lead Team USA in goals, to lead the whole Olympics in goals, is certainly possible. He's among the leaders in 5-on-5 goals over the past couple of seasons. He's an absolute beast. He showed up in the World Championship for Team USA, and he's going to play on a line that with Dylan Larkin. And I thought Larkin was pretty good, you know, in the Four Nations faceoff. So he's somebody that's on my radar. Matt Boldy, again, I talked about getting an opportunity to play inside the top six. And how about Nick Suzuki? You know, Bruce Cassidy said a couple weeks ago that Suzuki could play anywhere, up and down the lineup, all situations, maybe some wing. And I thought, no way. I've never seen Nick Suzuki play on the wing before. And what do we see on the first day of practice? Suzuki on the wing with two Nova Scotia guys in Nathan MacKinnon and Brad Marchand. So he's a little bit of a sleeper as well if he's going to get an opportunity to play with Nate.
And we knew that was going to be a reality for Canada with all the centers that they bring. Yeah. Someone's got to move to the wing, right? A couple of these guys. Now, it is easier to transition to the wing from the center ice position, but it's not easy for everybody. And you mentioned it, Meany. Suzuki is just kind of that versatile guy. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around him playing the wing, though, yeah. Just watching him play center his whole career. And he's having a Selke-caliber season for the Montreal Canadiens this year. So I like him as a sleeper, especially if he's going to be kind of that Swiss Army knife type player. And Pete, you got to love the Tage Thompson love on the show here, right? The Sabres, good vibes coming into this. And I think Meany's onto something. I think Tage is going to be used in a fairly significant role here. I like the confidence that he's coming into the tournament with, you know, playing good hockey for Buffalo, and also just the hunger to play important games. He hasn't been able to do that. He will for the Sabres this year, which is nice to see. But Pete, it'll be good to see Tage Thompson playing in some really meaningful games here coming up.
Yeah, these are going to be the most meaningful games of his career, and hopefully more to come with the Sabres in the postseason as far as they go, if they make it. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun to see, you know, those two Buffalo guys, Rasmus Dahlin, obviously an anchor. If you're going to rank the top defensemen in the entire tournament, I believe we have Dahlin, fourth, you know, behind Cale Makar, obviously Werenski, and Quinn Hughes. After that, there's a bit of a drop-off. Rasmus Dahlin is going to be anchoring Sweden. You know, Sweden obviously is going to lean on Erik Karlsson on the first power play, most likely. Victor Hedman's been dealing with some injury this season. He came back during the stadium series. He's going to be playing, but you got to wonder what his workload's going to be. So I very much view Rasmus Dahlin as the number one overall defenseman for Sweden entering this tournament. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and I think, you know, something too, the power plays, right? A question about, you know, who's going to run the first power play for Sweden. And last year, we did see Hedman and Leo Carlson, or Erik Karlsson rather, lead Team Sweden on the blue line in terms of power play minutes. Two of the three games, I think, Dahlin didn't even have a minute. So, but this time around, Dahlin is playing great. Hedman's, you know, not 100%. So we could see Dahlin, which is, I think, why, for me personally, I had him ranked a little bit higher than some of these other guys. But taking a look at some of these power plays, it does seem like Sam Reinhart, who's opening up on the fourth line with Brendan Hagel and Bo Horvat, but Reinhart's going to be on that top power play for Team Canada, which is certainly valuable. And it sounds like Bo Horvat's going to get a look on that second power play as well. One guy I wanted to bring up before we break it in 3-6-5 is, what do you do about Jack Hughes? Right? Jack Hughes, who is healthy at the moment. It looked like the first day of practice wasn't even in the first four lines. And then I saw on the fourth line with a rotation of JT Miller, Vincent Trocheck on that fourth line. But man, in the odds market, I see he's 200-1 to lead the Olympics in goals. Like, this is a player you can take a stab on. Wasn't really that great, Jake, in the Four Nations faceoff, but we know the skill set. We know that this change of scenery, being in the Olympics, wearing the jersey, can elevate somebody's game, but this is somebody that we have ranked in the 30s. I mean, it does seem like he's a high-risk, high-reward type player at the moment.
Well, yeah, but what do you think about that, Pete? I feel like at that kind of number, like a 200-1 like Meany Schouts, or, you know, that's kind of worth a sprinkle just for the upside, right? If he's going to play and he's going to be, you know, something close to what we're used to Jack Hughes being, then you're going to get great value with that. There's a downside where he might just be compromised. He might not even be able to finish the tournament, right, Pete? So it is that risk-reward type play, but hey, that's what we're looking for in the odds market, right?
And that's where you look at a bounce back candidate, right? I mean, you could look at Elias Pettersson, Mika Zibanejad. Remember all those missed opportunities he had in the Four Nations? He could have scored a couple of big goals. Maybe they would have been playing for the championship if a couple of those went in overtime. But yeah, Jack Hughes, if you're getting him in the fourth round like Meany did, I mean, that jumped out at me when he showed me his results from his draft a couple days ago. So, and the Devils have been one of the most disappointing teams in the whole league as of record time. They are 11 points out of a playoff spot. So there's a lot of motivation, you would think, for Jack Hughes to avenge what has happened now that he's healthy again in the Olympics here.
All right, guys, it's time to uncover some value. We talked about it. You know, Meany's mentioning Jack Hughes at the big number, Tage Thompson, some of these other players. Tons of value to mine. We're going to get to that coming up next and On the Money.
Hey everyone, Adnan Virk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Virk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie, because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, and the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune into NHL Unscripted with Virk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice Olympic Hockey Preview. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up three goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. So, obviously, Meany, we know who the favorites are. If we're looking at the general futures market here, Canada, the big favorite. U.S. not too far behind them. You mentioned Sweden kind of being in that three hole, then a bit of a drop off to the Finns, and then you get into the Czechia and Germany range. So for you, just off the top, in terms of a winner of this tournament, is it Canada, U.S.? Is there any value in those numbers at this point, betting either of those teams?
I mean, at the end of the day, a win's a win. I don't think there's a ton of value, but I'm going to repeat myself what I said before the Four Nations face-off. Like, I understand that Canada has some issues between the pipe, but I look at their lineup and I just see a lot of winners. I see a lot of guys that have won Stanley Cups. I see a lot of guys that have won in big pressure moments, like we saw when they beat Team USA. And I wasn't really overly thrilled with some of the players that Team USA left off. I think they could fall short again, you know, when they need a goal. And you got Celebrini there, the youngest player, and Crosby is the oldest. And up and down their lineup, I don't see a whole lot of holes. So at +100, it's not a great number, but at the end of the day, I I do think that they're going to win, and I think we will see a Canada and USA matchup, and yeah, I'm going to stick to that.
I hope we do, guys, because we're not guaranteed to get it. That's the thing, right? They're not in the same group. If we're going to see it, we're probably going to see it in either a gold medal game, maybe a semifinal game. That's a possibility. A bronze medal game, that would be a little bit lackluster, I think, if it was for a bronze, but those are the options to get a Canada and US matchup. I do think in terms of betting odds, Pete, if I were to play Canada or the US in the futures market, I actually probably would lean more towards the U.S. just with the group that they have and the matchup they're probably going to get. I think it's better value for the number, even though I might come at the end of the show and predict Canada to win this thing. I think the better value probably does lie in the U.S. Where do you stand on the two favorites here, Petey?
I mean, when you have Bo Horvat as your number four center, I mean, that's like a dream scenario. So when you step back and look at the Canada roster, I think it's superior to everybody out there. But some of these U.S. wrinkles are very interesting. I mentioned Quinn Hughes and him being an X factor. Brock Nelson is playing unbelievable hockey this year. So he could be their third or fourth center. So it could be a wash down the middle. It's very close. I do view Quinn Hughes as the difference maker if I were to choose between the two at the very end of the tournament. And Werenski, again, Cale Makar, best defenseman in the NHL. Second and third, Quinn Hughes and Zach Werenski, those are both on the U.S. That could be an advantage for Team USA in this tournament, no question.
I think if, you know, you're looking for some value, again, I'll go to Sweden at 7-1, because if Team USA does get that one seed, I have it mapped out that, you know, maybe they can play Denmark as the 8 seed in the corners. Then, you know, they avoid Sweden. If Sweden's that 3 seed, I'm looking at the semifinal matchup, whether it's USA versus Germany or USA versus Czechia or Finland, who isn't a pushover, I do think it's an easier matchup than, say, Canada versus Sweden. So, again, we saw Sweden hang with Canada in a Four Nations face-off game. If they can beat Canada in that game, all of a sudden, you know, in the gold medal game at 7-1, I think is probably the best value on the board. Jake, like between them and Finland at 10-1, like those two nations, if they were in the gold medal game or they beat Canada in a semifinal game, that would not shock me at all.
I think you can take a shot. It might sound crazy because we're coming off four nations and it just seems so obvious Canada and the U.S. are going to meet. But let's remember, these crazy things happen in these types of tournaments. It just takes one game. It takes, you know, bad goaltending performance or a good goaltending performance on one side. And you could see a Czechia go on a run, or heck, even a Germany, Pete, possibly go on a run with some of their top talent. And Germany's where I'm going to be going early in this tournament, guys. They play Denmark in the opening game, Pete. I know you said you're fired up for that one. I'm going to be on the Germans in that game, most likely on the puck line. You know, maybe use the money line in a parlay, and I'm going to be attacking those German top players. Like I said off the top of the show, Dreisaitl, Stützle, Mo Sider on the back end. I expect these guys to play heavy minutes. So if I can find some prop markets I like on these guys, I'm going to be leaning into the Germans, probably the Czechs as well when they play.
Right. So Denmark has obviously, Frederik Andersen has not had a great season with the Hurricanes this year. But when you go back to look at what they did in the World Championship last year, they beat Canada last year on a team that had Nathan MacKinnon, Crosby was on that team, right, Chris? And Celebrini, too. And they beat them. Ehlers was playing in that game, scored the tying goal late in the third period. I'm not saying they're going to beat Germany. I'm not saying they're going to beat the U.S., but I think they could give either one of those teams a scare. So when I see them plus 210 or whatever they are to upset Germany on Wednesday, this is going to be a clean slate. You may be the better team, but we know how hockey is. You get outshot 2-1. Sometimes you can still win. So I do think that one of those two games, either Denmark against the U.S. over the weekend or against Germany on Wednesday to open off the tournament for Denmark, I think they're going to put a scare in one of those two teams.
Yeah, Pete brings up a good point about just that single game, right? And again, playing for your country, it's going to be all laid out on the line. If, you know, one goalie is hot like Frederik Andersen, all of a sudden turns the clock, like he could steal a game. On the other side, Philip Grubauer too, but there's going to be some crazy spreads here, like seeing Sweden and Italy. Sweden 5.5 to beat Italy at plus 120. I'd probably lean to Sweden winning by 6 goals, yeah, honestly. But it's crazy to see that 5.5 and then see the game total at 6.5. So they're just expecting nothing at all from Italy, which, you know, is a pretty good assumption. I do like Germany though. You can take Germany to get two wins at minus 105, which I like, as opposed to maybe just taking them as minus 275 favorites against Denmark. I do like them on the puck line at minus 118. Again, I agree with everything you said, Jake. I think they're going to lean on their top guys, and I think you're going to see Leon Draisaitl be a real big player in this Four Nations faceoff. And then Team USA against Latvia, and -3.5 at minus 118 on Thursday. I almost feel like it's a lock that that's going to come go closer to maybe 4.5 when we get closer to puck drop.
And when you look at what I was saying earlier about Quinn Hughes, I was looking back to Four Nations, and it's feasible for guys. I know Zach Werenski is viewed as an elite player. We can all agree on that. But he would have probably not been in the top 10 or 15 names going into the Four Nations to lead the entire tournament in points. And that's what he did. He had 6 assists, had 6 points, led the entire Four Nations tournament. His role will change. Could that be Quinn Hughes? You could look at him as a long shot to lead the whole tournament in points. That's probably not going to happen, but to lead Team USA in points at plus 550, I can get behind that. I trust him a little bit more than both Jack Eichel and Austin Matthews, who are the two, you know, favorites to do that.
You can have some fun in the top goal scorer, top point scorer markets, Meany, and that's where I'm looking at. Tage Thompson is a guy you're looking at here, right? I think we both agree he could be a very impactful player. He's 66-1 to score the most goals in this tournament. So the entire tournament, look, we expect the U.S. to go on a long run, probably play the max amount of games, and I think Tage is going to be playing a top six role, hopefully gets a little power play time in there. I don't mind a number like that, you know, maybe a stab on a guy like Jack Eichel. I know he talked about Matt Boldy earlier possibly playing a huge role at this tournament, but I'm pretty confident in Tage's role. I think Tage at 66-1 has got a lot of interest to me there, Means.
It's a phenomenal number, right? If you're looking for a long shot here, and I would look at an American, honestly. I don't want to just crap all over the teams that are in their division, but they're going to score a lot of goals. They just will, and they did last year at the Four Nations faceoff. So I see a guy like Tage Thompson at 66-1 who has moved considerably from 100-1 to 66-1 over the past few days. I think people are jumping in on that. Matt Boldy again at 80-1. I like the placement in the lineup. He's playing with a lot of confidence. It was kind of a coming out party for him at the Four Nations faceoff. I like the fact that they're moving Jack Hughes away from Austin Matthews. That didn't work out. You have Jake Guentzel on the other side on that line as well at 50-1. So I would be looking at some of these Americans. I'd rank them probably Boldy, Tage, Guentzel, and even Brady Tkachuk at 66-1, who was another guy, I think, Pete, started Four Nations faceoff on the third or fourth line. And we all knew, hey, Brady's going to at some point play with Matthew, right? Aren't they? And then they did, and they play with Jack Eichel, who's an elite playmaker. I see him at 33-1 to lead the Olympics in goals. I'd probably shy away from him. I think I view Matthew as a little bit of a playmaker too. Brady on that top power play at 66-1. I'm looking at some of those Americans, and a shout out to Celebrini at 18-1. Why not?
One that really jumps out. If we're looking for an American here, Pete, I just want to throw this number out there. I had to scroll very far down to find this player, and look, maybe it doesn't work out for him because it didn't at Four Nations, and it's Kyle Connor, where we saw he didn't play in the championship game in Four Nations. They made that decision. I'm not saying it cost them the game, but it would have been nice to have a guy like Kyle Connor who can change a game with one shot. If they do put him in an offensive role and they use him properly here, Pete, Kyle Connor, 200-1 for most goals. And Meany talks about it. There's going to be some cupcake matchups in that round robin. They can run it up. I think you could take a shot really far down the board. Kyle Connor, 200-1. That's going to be a bit of a sprinkle for me.
I like that for sure. I like what Chris was saying about Brady Tkachuk leading the tournament in goals. I wouldn't be surprised if the U.S. wins the whole thing. Maybe he could even be the MVP of the whole tournament. We know that he's the heart and soul of the United States team, him and his brother. But specifically the way that Brady Tkachuk has been playing for the Senators, who are a non-playoff team, since he came back from injury, he has been, we talked about it on one of the previous shows, arguably a top five, definitely a top 10 player across the entire league since he's come back from injury. I know that fantasy pools might just be points, goals, plus assist, but if you're looking for the whole package and the case to win tournament MVP, I'm a big backer of Brady Tkachuk here.
Yeah, a few final notes for me. I think there is a little bit of value for, like, say, a Granlin at 8-1 to lead Finland in goals, playing him up on that top line. A Lucas Raymond to lead Sweden in goals at 12-1. I think he's going to play, again, a significant role, maybe in the top line or the top power play. I think even taking a guy like Natchez at 6-1 to lead Czechia, Pasternak, we view him as a lethal shooter, but he's also a sneaky little playmaker. There's not a lot of value on Draisaitl at +150, but I think he'll lead Germany in goals. And then maybe Nico Hischier centering that top line at 5-1 for Switzerland. So even though these players are not going to lead the entire Olympics in goals, they could lead their nation in goals. And I'll wrap up with something Pete said. Quinn Hughes, I think he shouted him maybe to lead Team USA. What about to lead the whole tournament at 20-1 in points? Because I think he's going to play 26, 27 minutes a game. I agree with Pete. He's an X factor. He wasn't there for the Four Nations face-off. He's going to be on that top power play. And again, I just want to hammer home the point, guys. The Americans, they may not win this thing, but they are going to score a lot of goals, especially in those first three or four games.
I really like Jake Gensel as well. Just a guy that, you know, indoors, outdoors, Penguins, Lightning, who's healthy, who's not, who's he playing with, who's he not. Jake Gensel is definitely, you know, a top 10, top 15 goal scorer in the NHL, tried and true. You could get him at +5,000 to lead the entire tournament in goals. I really like that. And then Celebrini, who is seventh or tied for sixth on the odds board to lead the entire tournament in points. Obviously, you lean with McDavid and McKinnon, and, you know, Crosby's probably not going to get there, but you know those are the top dogs for Canada, but he is going to make a big impression here. I do not see him being a bottom six player on this Canada roster. He's fourth in the NHL in points at 19 years old, Jake, and I wouldn't be surprised at all based on what I've seen, not only offensively, but in the two-way prowess, if Celebrini could lead the whole tournament in points at +2,000.
All right, boys, it's time for some podium picks here to wrap things up. I'll go first. I'll take Canada to win gold, showing my Canadian bias a little bit here. I'm going to take them to beat Finland in the gold medal game. Ooh. Canada over Finland. Maybe we don't get that Canada-US matchup that everybody wants. And I will take the US to win the bronze against whoever they get. Maybe Germany in that bronze medal game, Meanie. So for me, Canada, Finland, US means what's your podium looking like?
They have a futures market at Bet365 to name the finalists. So Canada and Sweden at +300 if that is a finals matchup. You see Canada-USA at +115. But I think that's a pretty interesting call. And at 3-1, it's a decent number there. I think we're going to see Canada beat you. USA again. I think it's going to be a phenomenal gold medal game. Nate at 8-1 to win MVP is pretty decent. I think that's a strong number, even though he's nearly a favorite. But I'll go with Cale Makar to be the MVP at 33-1. I know he missed a couple games, but I think he can be a big time X factor and, you know, chew up a lot of minutes and get some playing time there. But I have a bronze medal game, Sweden and Germany. I think Germany, I think at 4-1, maybe to, you know, reach the semis, I think is an interesting long shot bet, but I think we'll see Sweden get bronze over Germany.
So I have the US winning gold, Canada winning silver, and then the bronze would be Sweden against Czechia. And I like Czechia, their chances of winning that game. Obviously, Pasternak anchors the lineup. You also got Hurdle, who's one of the top players this year in terms of power play goals for Vegas. He's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder. I believe one of the previous tournaments where Czechia won it, maybe it was the World Championship, Hurdle was not on that roster. So he's going to have a lot to prove here. And again, the goalie trio, Dostal, Vemelka, even Dan Vladar has been a stud this year. Through all the struggles of the Flyers, he's put up good numbers this year. So they got three viable goalie options. I like that team a lot. And that's my pick to win bronze over Sweden.
A lot more depth in this tournament, guys, with teams like Czechia and Germany and you know, a lot more than the four teams that we saw at Four Nations. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Great to talk best on best hockey with you guys. And let the games begin. Let's get this thing going. Thanks for listening to our Olympic preview here on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. For Chris Meanie, Pete Jensen, producer Phil Constantino, we'll see you next time.